Welcome to Real Estate I Love It podcast. I'm Shelley Hoffman, real estate expert and community advisor. Join me and various guests who are expert in what they do, such as home inspectors, mortgage brokers, investors, wholesalers. There are so many aspects to our industry that most people are not aware of, and I'm here to help you learn about them. I'm an educator by trade, and this podcast is to educate you in the world of real estate. Hey everybody, it's Shelley Hoffman with Jason Miller, Dave Ferguson, and Rob Just today talking real estate because it's, you know, where at least my passion is, I know for these guys as well. And the topic today is a little bit about the seller's market and how things are going. So how's everybody doing this morning? You guys doing well?
Good, thanks.
All good.
All charged up and ready to go.
Perfect. So for me being the real estate agent standpoint, obviously the process for the most part starts with me. It may be, you know, they have a conversation with Rob, who's a financial advisor, and give them an idea of what their options are as far as purchasing, if they can do cash. But we're definitely, as usual, seeing that cash is king. People would much rather not have to worry about necessarily going to the lender with Jason. But, you know, Jason, a strong pre-approval, right, where there's a lot of money down, conventional, you know, sometimes that's still a good risk in this market. But I know you have two types of approvals, right? You have the pre-qual, you have the pre-approval, and then you have something that's called like the platinum pre-approval, right?
Yeah. One's a standard approval that says we've pulled the credit and verbally verified everything. And then the platinum approval, we have them send over the corroborating documents. Pay stubs, W-2s, bank statements, you know, tax returns, things like that to validate that everything matches up to, you know, what it needs to. And then we clearly state that those things have been received and that out in the community, it's a much better approval. And most agents that see us, that know us, are like, oh, okay, right, this is good. So it helps, in competitive situations.
Yep, absolutely. So again, like I was saying, people love cash, but when you have that platinum pre-approval from somewhere like Paragon Home Loans, then you know that they've taken those additional steps. Because, you know, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we'd get something called a pre-qual letter, which was that verbal piece. And not that people necessarily are misleading, but maybe sometimes they don't completely understand questions that are being asked. So having that additional proof. So you have cash, you have a strong conventional platinum pre-approval. Different companies may call it something different, but even that isn't always enough. It's not necessarily enough to have the most money or the strongest pre-approval. There's other terms that come into play as well. And, you know, Dave, we talked to you about this, where the home inspection aspect of it has gone down a little bit, right? Like, you're not nearly as busy as you have been in previous markets.
Very correct. Yes.
And that's because people are waiving those home inspections. I was talking to Dave and Rob prior to coming live, and I actually had a listing where the home inspection is coming through. So if you look at our title, we talk about what are the strategies and is the market changing? Dave, you said you had a home inspection this past weekend. I know I follow some other home inspectors on social media. Do you feel like it's picking up a little bit on the home inspection side?
Yeah, I see a little bit of change. Had quite a bit, pretty solid week last week. And seems like I'm doing more of the mid-range homes that prior to this have been not on the radar at all. More of the higher end homes are still getting them. When you're spending that kind of money, I think they have fewer buyers and the process is more consistent with what we're used to. But I have seen a little bit more of the 150 range $200,000 houses, and surprised that some of them are even FHA. And I'm like, why would a seller take one of these, so it must be changing a little bit.
Have you seen that, Jay, the FHA? I know I saw on social media two VA offers came in, and they were debating between the two VA offers. Are you seeing a switch in more things like that getting accepted?
Yeah, a teeny bit. Yeah, actually. So, which is good. And a couple of folks I talked to were like, the amount of listings that that normally would come on, have doubled. I don't know if that's correct or not. So it sounds like there's some more inventory coming out there, which is good.
Well, let's go back to the strategy piece of it, right? When the 32 offers on one property were coming in, that FHA loan where seller concessions were needed. That's where if a house is listed at 150, but they need $9,000 assist in closing costs, that 9,000 gets added to the mortgage. And Jay, you could probably explain that a little bit better to me. But when you're worried about an appraisal coming in and you're adding that additional number amount of dollars on top of the purchase price, that's a tough call for a listing agent to take an FHA loan with the added closing costs added to the mortgage. So to the point of maybe the market is changing to have FHAs, and again, I just had one. There was 7,000 added to it. We're not worried about the appraisal because we didn't go $20,000-$30,000 over the list price. But can you explain just for people who maybe don't understand what those seller concessions are, Jason, real quick, what that means?
So essentially, when you buy a house, there's three components of the money that you need. Number one is down payment. And obviously, that's whatever amount you put down. The more you put down, the less you finance. So number one, down payment. Number two, closing costs. That would be like recording fees, appraisal fees, attorney fees. There's a tax that goes to New York State called a mortgage tax, various, one-time expenses. And then also you need to have property taxes, upwards of about a year of those, and then home insurance. So when, a lot of times people say closing costs, which is how could they be, whatever, 9,000. Well, the taxes and insurance are costs to get into a house, but they're not closing costs. Closing costs are the hard cost taxes or taxes. So if you take an example of somebody buying a house at 150,000, and the seller says we need 150,000 in our pocket. Well, as a buyer, you have a choice to either pay, one, two, and three, down payment, closing costs, and taxes, all out of your pocket, or you can structure that in your offer and say, well, okay, well, I'll offer you, Mr. Seller, 159 for the home, and then you give me that $9,000 credit or a concession. So that, the buyer wins, they need $9,000 less, and then the seller wins because they get the 150 in their pocket, and that's how the offer is structured. But the caveat is the home has to not appraise for 150, it has to appraise for the 159, which is incorporating, all of it.
The closing costs and everything into it. Absolutely. So again, when you're in a seller's market and things are going for 20, 30, sometimes 40,000 over the list price, is it really going to appraise for that much? And then put those closing costs on top of it. So that's kind of what the seller's market is. Those are the strategies. So people were taking conventional or cash because they didn't have to worry about the seller concessions. They were waiving the home inspection. Dave's talked about that a couple times that maybe they want an inspection beforehand, but that's not really a true inspection, right, Dave? That's almost like an overview, and it almost undermines what a true home inspection is because it's a snapshot of the house, right? Not a full assessment of the house.
The little walkthrough at the open house, yeah, that's not even a snapshot. That's problems waiting to happen. So, but that's one of the strategies they were trying to take, or I'm sure they still are. But I don't entertain that.
Wow, and it's your job on the line, obviously, like your
Yeah.
credibility. And then Rob, coming from the financial standpoint, is we talked about in the past with the seller's market of people borrowing money against their 401k, parents pooling their money so that the child can buy a cash and then they pay their parents back. Have you come across that recently? Is that slowed down a little bit? Like, what's the word out there in your industry?
Well, over the past year and a half, since the pandemic, there's a lot of people been carrying more cash than normal. People been hoarding it because of the uncertainty. The last 6 or 8 months, people have been using that. The trend we're seeing nationally, which could be a bit disturbing from my point of view, is that we're noticing, nationwide, it's starting to flip where people are starting to borrow more money to purchase homes, and not borrowing in the sense of a mortgage, borrowing it on credit cards, borrowing it on personal loans, on 401ks. And, you know, that's back in 2008 and nine, I mean, that's what we started seeing with the housing market then. So, it has flipped, but, you know, hopefully, I'm hoping that we don't, you know, we don't go through that again. But to your point, yeah, we're seeing people do anything they can to purchase a home.
To that point, Jason, I'm going to throw this to you. Are you, because you do refinance as well, are you seeing people who refinance their home to pull cash out of it to give it to a child, whether for a down payment, for the appraisal gap, you know, to cover that additional money to give their children, or, you know, or another family member, I guess it doesn't have to be their child, but to give them money, they're pulling money out of their own property. Have you been doing refis like that, or is it mainly just been for home projects?
Yeah, not so much for people to pull money out to give to children for down payments and stuff, but just to take advantage of the lower rates and sometimes do consolidation of debt and restructuring of things. Yeah.
Nice. You know, brings me back to another point. I had a conversation with somebody over the weekend, Rob, and they said that they took advantage of the COVID where you don't have to pay the money back right away if you pull money out of your, what is it, your IRA or something, retirement. What was that that came out? You actually did an interview with me on PAC B here in Baldwinsville about that, and you had additional time to pay money back.
I think we have that luxury anymore, but I could be mistaken, but I think that has run out. I think that was in the initial first phase, the first stimulus package. A lot of people did take advantage of it. Normally you do have 60 days to put money back into an IRA. You can only do one a year. I personally didn't see a lot of that happening, but I know it did happen quite a bit. I mean, typically that happens a lot in a normal situation, and then this year being compounded.
We have that. I actually came across that in one of my transactions where a family member was giving pooled to give cash so that their child could be a cash buyer. And then they only had that 60 days. So we were running alongside of the refinance alongside of the actual transaction purchase so that the refinancing of the house could pay the parents back for the money they took out. So they didn't have to get penalized for that 60 days.
I mean, that's, you know, typically I advise against that because, you know, as you all know, with the real estate market, something could happen. You know, so that 60-day window could become 90 days. And if you don't get it back in, then within 60 days, then it's taxable. And so, yeah, that's a risky move.
Okay. Yep, absolutely. So again, going back to seller's market, you know, we're seeing cash, conventional, waiving the home inspection, pulling money from your financial portfolio that maybe you wouldn't have done before. We talked a little bit in a previous episode about the escalation clauses, meaning if a house is listed for $150,000, maybe you want to offer $153,000, but you don't want to lose the house. You go all the way up to $180,000. And that's where that $30,000 over list price comes into play. So again, going back to the FHA loan, if you need to add those closing costs that Jay was talking about on top of it, you know, it's really hard to get an appraisal for a house here in Central New York that's $30,000 over list price with including those closing costs. The sellers want that net number to them to be as high as possible. So again, that has been the seller's market we've been seeing for a long time. I do feel that the market is changing a little bit. Dave kind of mentioned home inspections are picking up a little bit. Jay said he's seeing some FHA, VA loans coming through. The other thing that I'm seeing on my end that I kind of want to talk about, and I don't know how often you guys actually pay attention to list prices, but when this all started, and you know, I'll say my partner was one of the first people that came across a listing that she sold and it did close, but the list price was so much higher, the purchase price was so much higher that the appraisal came in close to $30,000 under what the purchase price was. And they actually renegotiated a little bit, you know, to come up with middle ground between the buyer and the seller. If that house would have closed today, they wouldn't have had to renegotiate necessarily, because those houses that are closing, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, but as those houses that were going 20, 30,000 over list price, as they're closing, now our appraisers have comps to use that are higher than what they were in January and February. Right, Jason?
Correct. Yeah.
So at least here in Central New York, the appraisals are coming in higher. However, on the flip side of that, because these houses are closing, we now have next door neighbors looking to see what someone got at 123 Main Street, and they're at 125, and they want to list their house for the price that 123 Main Street got 60 days ago, right? They get the purchase offer 60 days ago. Maybe it's $30,000 over the list price. The neighbor now sees that it closed at 180 instead of 150. They want to list their house at 179 because they feel like their house is just as nice as the one that was purchased. Have you guys noticed that or seen that, or is it only because I look at the hot sheets that I'm seeing these list prices get higher and higher?
I agree. I've seen that quite a bit, and I've talked to a few people who have done it, and most times they aren't getting the offers and the entourage of people coming through at once because they overpriced it, and they got to start in that sweet low spot and let them all come in droves and bid each other out, and they make the adjustment and then they get the house sold. I've seen that happen a lot.
Yeah. And Dave, you hit the nail on the head with me. We're seeing that nobody's really coming through, and it's hard to tell us a new seller that their house isn't as nice as the neighbor, because it's not the point. It's just the neighbor listed. We do call it the sweet spot. What's that sweet number that's going to bring those buyers into the door? Right. And once the buyers come in the door, you know, that's where the I don't want to lose mentality comes from.
Exactly. People get real hungry. And then when you go that route, then you got to go back to the listing and drop it 10 grand after 2 weeks, and looks like there's a problem. So it's real important to come out with the right number at the right time.
Right. And I would say probably a month ago, I did see one house that dropped down 10,000. And then the other thing that happens in a buyer's mind is now the seller's willing to negotiate. Now the seller's willing to, maybe I can get the home inspection. My VA loan probably will get accepted. The only problem that at least a month ago was as soon as the seller dropped to 10,000, then they got that rush of buyers that came in, and they possibly got that escalation clause that brought them up to where they were before. That was a month and a half ago. I'm not seeing as much now. I think buyers are kind of getting that. They put in 12 offers, they put in 15 offers, they keep losing, right? They're getting tired of playing that game a little bit if they've been in the market for a while. And sure. I was with somebody the other day, they've been looking on and off for, you know, 6-7 months. They put in purchase offers, but they want their home inspection. They are a VA purchase, and they could go conventional, Jay, because I know we've talked about that before, where somebody could qualify for both types of loan. But they want that FHA so they can keep more money, you know, they can wrap some of the closing costs in. So those buyers have kind of quit looking, and they're waiting for the market to slow down a little bit to come back into it. I don't know if you guys have seen that, or Jay, if you have somebody who was pre-approved, you had that conversation with them and they just decided to wait, and hopefully they can come out now.
Yeah. A lot of people over the past few years just toss in the towel and decide to give up. And so hopefully, you know, that'll change, because it's still a good opportunity for people to buy. Rents are going up and interest rates are still low. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, the one that I most recently was a part of with the home inspection, with the FHA loan, it almost feels good as a listing agent, because when you work both sides, the listing side and the buyer side, and you have the FHA buyers, you have the VA buyers, they're great programs, great loans. It's nice to be able to accept somebody who else is working with that type of a buyer. Is there any other changes you guys have happened to notice as far as if the seller's market's kind of leveling out a little bit? I don't want to say we're going stable, we're not going to a buyer's market. There's just changes in our seller's market that I think, you know, hopefully the 30,000, 40,000 over list price might start to go away a little bit, giving other buyers a chance to purchase a home.
Yeah, and I think if you, you know, the pandemic, a lot of people, I think, put things on hold, and now, you know, they're starting to get past that and the vaccinated and all that. And I think that's one of the reasons. I think it's I think Dave, it was Dave or you said, yeah, the neighbor down the street sees, okay, hey, what did this house sell for? Okay, great. Now they're, we're past the pandemic and people are vaccinated and all that. They're willing to actually have people through their house now. So you throw a couple things in there, and I think we are, that's why we're seeing some more inventory, which is good.
No, I agree.
Yeah, the national numbers are showing that it's starting to existing home sales are decreasing. There's been four consecutive months of existing home sales decreasing. The numbers don't come out until July 22nd, so we don't know if June's going to be the fifth in a row, but there were four prior. A lot of that had to do with April and May with interest rates going up. Mortgage rates hit above 3% first time in a long time. Now they're back down. But to Jason's point too, is there's also been a national increase in the inventory. Maybe, foreseeable future, looks like interest rates, looks like mortgage rates are going to stay pretty stable below that 3%. So maybe, I don't know, maybe we go back up, maybe we are leveled off. Your guess is as good as mine, but the national trend is showing things are cooling down very slightly, but they are cooling down.
Well, I've been saying we've been in the twilight zone of real estate now for quite a few months. It's been difficult from our end to predict what is that sweet number, that Dave had referenced, like what is that listing price? I actually told somebody who recently I worked with, sometimes I feel like you just throw spaghetti against the wall and you have a big target there. And, obviously there's more to it. We run the comps, but as until we know what something's sold for, we don't really know what, when it closes. We don't really know what the person down the street got unless we were part of that transaction. As those things are closing and people are pricing a little bit higher and it's staying there, to Dave's point, days on market's getting a little bit longer. And that might have something to do too with what you're saying, Rob, as far as it looks like it's slowing down. Because a lot of the information we have talks about days on market. And right now the average days on market, we joke, is 24 hours, but it's really about 5 because we list a lot of times on one day of the week. We allow so many days of showing, and then we accept offers, or sellers will negotiate offers maybe 5 days after the house hit the market. So you're getting an offer on day one, day two, or day three, but nobody's really looking at the offers until the fifth day. So that 5 days on market is kind of a fictitious number. But because things are starting to set, and there's a price decrease after 7 days, now we're looking like more like 10 days on market, 12 days on market if somebody does come in at a higher price. Jay, the one other thing I want to ask you about too, though, is because so many people lost their jobs or were laid off during COVID, or they start, you can't get a loan without a job, obviously. And I know you were working with some people, and I was working with some people who unfortunately were furloughed, right? And that halted the process. Have you seen those people start to come back, or is it not enough time yet? Because I know there's a time frame they have to be employed.
Yeah, each situation is a little different. Yeah, I mean, they're anxious to buy a house and get back to work, a lot of them. And the tough part is because they, rents are going up as well, so it's like it still makes sense to buy a house. And it's just it's challenging across the board. Yeah, it really is. But to answer, yeah, to answer your question, they are coming back, and and we keep in direct communication with them. Like, okay, when you're there this long, give us a call back, give us your pay stubs, and we'll look at it, because some of it's case by case, depending upon what they do for work and things like that.
You know what I would love to see come back, and I don't know if it ever will, in our area, is there's just so many people in the last, I would say 18 months, they were pre-approved for the first time. I think Rob or somebody had mentioned before, a lot of it has to do with the stimulus money. So they now have that cash that they didn't have before for the closing costs, for the down payment. But they're pre-approved for, $100,000, which again, up until this period of time, $100,000 was a good amount to get that first home. We're not really seeing anything listed. Something that was $100,000 is now being listed for $125,000, $137,000, right? So to the buyers out there that are so excited to get that pre-approval to be able to purchase, and their pre-approval is $100,000, I'd really like to see our market accommodate them again. I don't know if I see that happening. What do you guys think?
It's tough. It's
It's
tough,
gonna be a
but
while.
on the flip side, if you tried to buy that $100,000 house a year and a half ago, your mortgage payment would be the same as it would be on a $125,000 house now.
Because of the interest rate.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Dave, I'm going to throw this one to you because I know that along with doing home inspections, you would flip homes. And obviously, this price is not a great flip home type of a market because you got to watch how much you pay for a house because of what you have to put into it and then what you can sell it for and with the price of lumber and everything. But do you see that maybe coming back to where, last thing I want to get into today is talking about if anybody's overpaying, if upside down, if in 3 years we're back into kind of a bankruptcy mode with people. But just now, if do you think that they're overpricing the investment side of
Oh yeah.
homes, flip homes, or you
Yeah,
still think
absolutely.
buy?
You can't buy them to make any money right now, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there's still people doing it, and whatever tactics they take to make it profitable, my hat's off to them, I guess, but I don't see it. Too risky to I'd be paying what I would pay 70 grand for, put 50 into, is starting out at 100, 110. Now you add to that the cost of lumber increase, and you have to get 30 grand over to make that investment work. It's just too risky. So I don't see that changing anytime soon. Like we're talking right now about all these changes in the market, but they're subtle. We're talking a small percentage moving in the right direction, but by no means are we where I'm used to being in terms of my volume of work. And I'm sure you could say the same in regards to how many buyers you have and how many rejected offers you get. It's moving, but it's slow, and it's going to be a while, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, we're still when you get a buyer's offer accepted, there's pretty much a party thrown. I think over the weekend there was one, it was 12 offers. Sometimes it's just one or two, and it's almost depressing to lose when it's just one or two offers you're competing with. But is complete escalation like or a high to get that buyer to be up against 30, 30, 32, 42
Sure.
offers and have your buyers taken. But just keep in mind there's how many people whose offers did not get taken.
Right.
So it's still tough, but it definitely is to Jay's point, Rob's point. You're seeing the things come on the houses and the properties come on the market. It's just I still think that buyers have broadened, unless they're tied to a school district, they have broadened their search area. And I had a conversation again with someone over the weekend who their wants and needs have become so let's just say that things that were needs have now become wants, and they've given up a lot of those needs to try and compete in this market. And that's a shame because when you're buying a big investment and you've had that idea of what your dream home is, and maybe your dream home has always been a two-car garage, so both people can park in a garage in the winter here in Syracuse, and now all of a sudden you're willing to take one car garage or no garage because you're just lost so many offers at this point, you just want to get a home. And that's still sad, and we're still seeing that.
And still seeing that it's not even the dream home. We're going to pay way more than we should for it, and we're not going to get it checked out. It's just insane still. It blows my mind.
Nope, absolutely. So, any last words anybody has on the market, Rob, Jason, that you kind of want to share with everybody before we part ways for the day?
Don't think so. I think we covered most of it. I just, if buyers can try and be patient and accommodative, that's about the best they can do, you know?
Yeah.
Things will change. Things will always change. We know that for sure.
Yep. And the biggest concern I think I have when I'm talking to people is they say, if I pay this much for this house and I move in 5 years, where I get my money back? And that's that no one has a crystal ball. You don't know what the market's going to do in 5 years to answer that. So to a couple of people's point is some people are just backing away and saying, I'll just stay where I am. I'll keep things status quo and wait to see that change come, like Jason mentioned. So, well, thanks everybody. Like I said, it's kind of a quick update. Everybody asked questions about a seller's market and where things are going, at least here in central New York. And to Dave's point, it's a slow, gradual change. And to Rob's point of, is this the trend that we're going to, or are we going to go back, the other way? Definitely slowed over the 4th of July weekend because people were out enjoying it because we couldn't last year. So the buyers are back, the sellers are listing, and we'll see how the trend keeps going. Everybody have a great day. And again, thank you so much for your time.
Take care. Thank
you. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's it for this week's episode of Real Estate I Love It. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review on whatever stream platform you're using for your podcast. See you next time.